Thank you. Please be seated. My God can. Isn't that a wonderful song? And we can't do it alone. That's the important thing. That's why we have the two-step. We're going to get into that a little bit. But happy Mother's Day to all you wonderful mothers, sisters, encouragers. One of the first things a mother teaches her baby is trust. Although it's pretty instinctive when it comes to a newborn, they want to eat right away. But you got to have a mama there to say, okay, I'm ready to take care of it. Babies need to be cared for, loved, nourished, protected. And God compares himself to a mother in Isaiah 49:15-16. I'll read that to you, or you can look at that. It says, can a child and not have compassion on of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet will I not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. God has tattooed each one of us on the palms of his hand. Now, it's figure of speech, which gives great emphasis, because God doesn't have hands, he's spirit. But that's how important, to paint a picture for us, how important our lives are, that he will never forget us. He will never neglect us. Even a mother that gave birth could neglect her child for some reason. But our Heavenly Father has promised that he will never forget us nor neglect us. Remember, he chose you before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4 says, he chose us before the foundation of the world, or the creation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us that we would be holy, that we would have that Holy Spirit, that we would be a part of him, and that we would be without blame. He's not, when I grew up, I thought God was this kind of ogre up in heaven waiting to strike you down if you did something wrong. So you kind of ran from him. But he's a loving Heavenly Father that has committed his self to each one of you as if we were his only children. I was one of 10. So I got to share one-tenth of a lot of wonderful things, but I was very blessed. Each one of us have been handpicked. 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4 says, for it is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior, God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. All men. So if God chose us before the foundation of the world, handpicked us, desires that all men be saved, how about what do we have to do to choose him? Well, Romans 10:9-10 tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not the good works, how many little old ladies you help cross the street. It's confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart one man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. In a few verses after, the question is asked, but how can I call upon the Lord if I haven't heard his message? The answer is in verse 15, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Who are those messengers that bring peace? That's every one of us. Look how much we have received. We have a purpose in this life, and that is to give the gospel, to believe it and to walk out on it. Each of us is given the power and authority to make known the gospel and actually do the works that Jesus Christ did. In Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. There's a lot of oppression going on right now. We have the authority to say no, but we have to take the first step. Now you may ask, how do I do this great work? I've got a lot of questions that you're asking here. Once you have put your trust in the Lord, with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. You take the next step is to fellowship with him, to learn his word, to communicate with him, and become fully equipped with the promises of God. That put on that whole armor of God so that your mind can be protected, your heart can be protected. Oh, there we go. So one concept of seeing the promises of God manifested and getting prayers answered is what I call the two-step. And I'd like to ask my handsome assistant to come up and help me demonstrate that. So we are going to do the two-step for you. And the two-step starts with a leader and a follower. And as an individual learning God's word and
music, right?
Believing, yes, music, please. My show. So we're just following each other. But someone's got to take the lead. Anyways, that's how it's gonna. So there's a flow about this. Now I can't do it myself. I could go one, two, flow, two. But I'm not gonna get anywhere because I'm all by myself. I have to have a partner. Well, God is that partner for each one of us. Isn't that something? Think about that. But if I don't take the first step, He can't overstep our ability to do anything, our freedom of will. That was fun. So, to receive the promise of God, we have to take the first step. All right, a toddler, when they start to learn to walk, they'll walk around the furniture and grab it and the coffee table and all this, and then all of a sudden, mom and dad are anxious for them to start walking, so they put their hands out. And what does he do? He knows my little Milo. He was so cute. He just, once mom and dad have their arms out, he starts walking towards them at first. But he's got to take that step. Mom and dad can't take the step for him, right? Everything in life is about the first step. When you propose to a woman, you got to open your mouth or she'll propose to you. No. God is, everything's good. So with receiving the things of God, we have to be the one to take that step. Does that make sense? All right, there are many individuals in the Old Testament and the New that took the first step. How about Peter? What did he do? He stepped out of the boat. Nobody else went with him. He taught the first sermon after the day of Pentecost. He had to open his mouth. How about Abraham or Moses? He had to trust God. He went before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Well, he was actually a fugitive of Egypt. And God told him, "Moses, you got to come back. You got to set my people free." And so he had to take the first step. He had to go to Pharaoh. He couldn't send a messenger. He had to do it. And he had to put that, he had to part the water. He had to take, the Red Sea did not part a mile away. He had to make that first step, and then it parted. And 2 million Israelites were saved. Isn't that wonderful? Because he took the first step. How about Abraham, Noah, Joseph, Elijah, Ruth, Rahab, Mary, the mother of Jesus? Here's a young woman who all of a sudden an angel comes to her and says, "You're going to bear the Son of God." Hey, why? She hasn't been with a man. She's not married yet, to completely married to Joseph. Mm-hmm. She had to say, "Okay, Lord, thy will be done." That's that first step. How about Jesus Christ? He had to decide if this was his destiny. John the Baptist, Paul, Timothy. How about you and I? What's the first step for us to see a change in our lives, community, nation, world? You know, our lives represent so much. We were called before the foundation of the world. God is our partner with us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? We're encouraged strongly in 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. For kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We're to pray. We're not to argue, condemn, speak negatively what's going on. We really need to take time with God. Not just, hi God, I pray for everybody, and then you're on your way or you're on to the next TV show or something. We actually devote our time to Him. And being retired, semi-retired, I guess, there's nothing better to do than to sit and just look at the goodness of God. Look at how He can do all things. And He values each one of us. He sees us as righteous. He sees us as Christ in us. We are His beloved children. So never doubt your abilities or who you are. The book of Daniel presents four amazing Jews that were taken out of Israel and brought into Babylon as captive slaves. But they took the first step and changed the country many, many times. And I want to look at that with you. It was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, you've heard Daniel in the lion's den, you've heard Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Well, let's look at the change that happened because they took that first step. And we're going to start in chapter 3 of Daniel. And Daniel is, if you don't know what Daniel is, it's not one you always look at. But you got Ezekiel, Daniel, or Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. It's after Psalms and Proverbs. So Daniel chapter 3, we're going to look at, we're not reading all of this, but we're going to look at some of the exploits that were happened. And so we're going to start in Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to look at, I'm sorry. I don't have it here. Well, anyways, Daniel started with, I should have it here, I'm surprised. Daniel revealed a dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And because he was the only wise man that could interpret this dream, he was promoted to, verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods. Now, here's Nebuchadnezzar, who is really a very pagan king. And but Daniel was able to interpret a dream. Now, this is where they first start discovering that he has this excellent spirit. So in verse 47, the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. Since you have revealed this secret, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. He made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat at the gate of the king. So because he operated the Spirit of God and interpreted this dream, he was elevated to the top. And then he brought on his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they became in the court of the king. So Nebuchadnezzar is seen, how good God is, And then he has a short memory. He decides that he needs a golden image. And so now, because Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are elevated, there's a lot of jealousy going on with the other guys. So they decided that, well, after when he made this image of gold, they made this decree that everyone has to bow down to this image. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not bowing down to any pagan god. They didn't even eat the food that the king offered because the king offered this food to the gods first. So they weren't about to do that. So they took the first step and said, no, I want vegetables to eat. And God really blessed them. So because of this jealousy, these administrators set up that if you don't bow when you hear the music, you're going to be thrown into the burning fire furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, we're not going to bow, king. And they said, our God will deliver us. So they threw him into the fiery furnace. That Nebuchadnezzar was so mad that they increased the heat of that furnace even hotter so that these strong men that put him in got burnt up. Well, all of a sudden, Shadrach, they see three guys and a fourth guy who was an angel walking around this burning fire furnace. So that's not something you do. But see, they took the first step and the God provided their deliverance. So when they came out, I love this part here. We're going to go to chapter 3. And verse 3:24, it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true king, look, we saw, he answered, I see four men loose, bound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. The form of the fourth is as an angel. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, here we go. Now he's got his memory back again. Servants of the Most High God, before he wanted to worship this golden image. Come out and come here. Then Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps and ministers, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair on their head had not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of smoke fire was not on them. Have you ever had a fire in your kitchen? That smells bad. They were in the midst of this fiery furnace, and their hair was not singed, and there was not even the smell of smoke. That's how big our God delivers. So Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they that frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other god who can deliver like this. Isn't that wonderful? They took that first step, they took that stand, and God delivered to the utmost, miraculously. But let's look at Daniel. So Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are promoted again. There's jealousy. So to find fault in Daniel, these leaders had to find something that Daniel did. Well, he had the habit of praying three times a day to God. Well, King Darius was approached, and they said, King, we shouldn't have anyone praise anyone except you. So nobody should be praying. Well, and then they saw Daniel. Now, Daniel didn't just pray in his basement. He prayed up on the rooftop There was no windows. He was just out there, and everyone could see afar that he was praising God, praying. So they went to King Darius, said, King Darius, there's a man here that's not obeying you, and he needs to be. And this was, they were supposed to pray and acknowledge King Darius for 30 days. So, of course, Daniel's not going to do that. He's a faithful man. So they brought Daniel, and King Darius had to say, because he swore on this oath that whoever did not pray to anyone else would be thrown in the lion's den. Well, so they brought Daniel before king, and the king and said, Daniel, are you praying? He said, yes. So the king was very disappointed because they tricked him because they wanted to get rid of him. So let's look at Daniel chapter. So they threw him in the lion's den, but the wonderful thing about it was how much King Darius loved Daniel. So that night, verse 18 of chapter 6, it says, now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also he slept, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they could not harm me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, king, I have done no wrong before you. Then the king was exceedingly glad. So they commanded Daniel to be brought back out of the den. And verse 24, and the king gave the command that they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the lion's den. Them, their children, their wives, and their lion, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, the steadfast and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall endure till the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So is this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus and the Persian. Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine our government saying, we're making a decree that all people should stand upon the word of God, the Constitution, and the Constitution. Well, if we take a stand, we continue to pray, things will change. But it's our responsibility. God will follow once we take that change. There's another person in, woman named Esther. And via Mother's Day, it's good to exonerate a woman. Esther was an Israelite as well. And she was brought before taken out of Israel, and she was a fair woman, beautiful woman, and she was brought before the king, and she became the queen. And during this time, there was a very evil man, Haman, who wanted to kill all the Jews. So Mordecai, her uncle, who raised her, sent word to her that they're going to kill the Jews. But she needed to stop him. Well, let's look in. Well, I'll just read it to you because I think I'm running a little long here. So Mordecai, Esther said that it was against the law to come before the king unless the king had requested her. And she hadn't seen him for, I think it was 30 days. And so it was not likely that he was going to call her. But she needed to take a stand. She needed to take that first step to save these people. So she went before the king. Well, what she did is she sent word back to Mordecai, I want all the Jews to pray, to fast and pray for 3 days, and then me and my maidens, we will fast and pray, and then I will go to the king. She put God first. She didn't just go out in fear with, well, maybe I'll make it or not. But she, because she stood, God covered. So anyways, she was able to go before the king. He put his golden scepter out, welcomed her, and he said, I'll give you anything. What would you like? Even half of the kingdom. And she says, I just want a banquet. I want a banquet with yourself and with Haman. Haman, the man that hated the Jews that was causing this problem. Well, so he says, for sure, anything you want. So she had this banquet, and Haman was exposed and stopped. Mordecai was exonerated. The children of Israel were saved because she took that first step, so that God could work in this situation. And a whole nation was saved. An entire nation was grateful for Esther's stand, responding to Mordecai's rebuke. He said, if you don't do this, maybe this is why you are here in the king's court for this purpose right now. So you could get comfortable staying there, and maybe no one will find out you're a Jew, but probably they will. And someone will rescue us. But now, such a time as this, this is your time. And maybe such a time as this is our time, where we stand, take that first step in service. How many people in our culture will be saved? If we turn our hearts to the plan God has prepared for us before the world began, to do the good works that he has prepared, praying without ceasing for our people, our nation, we will fulfill the calling of for such a time as this. Do you think we have been called by our Heavenly Father to take a stand at this time and hour? We could have been in Daniel's time, but here we are. There's a purpose for us. We put away what's comfortable and acceptable in man's eyes and trust God. Ask for his direction and follow his lead, taking the first step. Remember, remember, your God can deliver when you take the first step, and he will follow. So such a time as this is what our lives is all about, and God is very good. So that's my message for today.